So welcome back to Pax Europiana, the podcast about peace in Europe. And I would like now to discuss about the 28th of June. And that's obviously a very important day in European history. And you will hear a lot about the 28th of June during this podcast. It's the European Peace Day. But it's also in this context a very special day for European peace and European trade. Because on the 28th of June 2019, the European Union and Mercosur have concluded the free trade agreement. That's a major historic breakthrough for peace in the world and for prosperity and for equality and for progress in the world. It's a very, very important trade agreement. It's one of the most important trade agreements in global history. And it was so long in the making. And I would like to congratulate President Juncker and the Commissioner Malmström, but also all negotiators who have made it possible. It's very specific and it's a historic thing to have achieved. Why it's so important and what it is about? Of course, you know what is the European Union, no doubt. That's the biggest regional trade integration system in the world. And that's very successful in bringing most of the European countries, all European countries, who have joined and the future countries out of the poverty and deprivation of the European post-World War II and post-communism disaster. And that has really lifted the European prosperity level to unprecedented levels in history. It's unbelievable success. And the same, it's also a kind of a role model for other regions. And obviously the Latin American countries, especially here the Southern American countries, they have copied it. They have various trade integration systems in the Andean countries and the Latin American countries. They have obviously also the Mexican and US and Canada trade integration system. But in the South, in the big countries, Brazil and Argentina, and also Uruguay and Paraguay, they have the so-called Mercosur. That's basically the market of the South. Sur is south in Spanish. So the Mercosur is basically a copy of the European Union of the 1980s. It has not gone for the political integration, it doesn't have a common market, but it's a free trade agreement with the ambition to be a full internal market in the south of the Americas. And that's a wonderful thing. And that's really like our twin. That's the most logical partner for the European Union. Never forget, most of the people from these countries have also immigrated from the European Union historically. Let's not forget, we Europeans have also committed so many crimes against the people of the Latin American continent and of South America. And we have really done a lot of evil things as well during the imperial period and the colonial period. And now there is the opportunity to get it all right and build a mutually agreed and joint common treaty of peace, a commercial peace agreement. Because it's not a cannon boat we have put forward like in the 19th century and imposed our will. Maybe I can remind you that the Germans have sent so often the cannon boats to Venezuela, one of the biggest crises at the beginning of the 20th century, when the Venezuelans were bankrupt and the German Empire sent the Navy, for example. But there are several European countries, obviously Spain, Italy, and also Portugal, have committed so many crimes there and have treated the South Americans so badly. Now it's really the time to do something together. And this is a together thing, you know. It's not that we have imposed the treaty or that Bolsonaro has forced us to do it. No, no, it's the common wish of our people that we work together because it's the prosperity of the 21st century which depends on such treaties. It's very good. And obviously in Europe, you know, in our we have this cultural pessimism and decline phenomenon of the Greens, of the populists, of everybody who is in the farming protectionist kind of, it's very sad, you know. I will discuss all these points, but let's see, first of all, what we are about. We are about multilateralism, we are saying. And then we are against something like this. I mean, this is the very essence of multilateralism, that you both sit together on a table, agree what is possible for both sides to open, and then you reduce the tariffs, you reduce the trade barriers, you try to open to each other as much as possible in order to lift yourself into the next level of economic development. And we want the South Americans to be as well fairly treated and to be as well rich. Or is the whole global system only about the Germans or the French to be rich? I don't think so. We have to open up. We have to engage. Otherwise, we are completely reckless, irresponsible people like the French president or the Austrian chancellor. That's very sad. They are claiming to be the young and nice and great people, but they represent the old declining protectionist model of the past. It's not the age that really decides if you are part of the future and if you are modern. It's your policy positions which decide. And if you are like a French old-style protectionist, it's very tragic that you take your nation down. And that's exactly what's happening. And we have to really make sure that we celebrate this day as the day for peace. That's the 28th of June, but also it's that we understand the connection and the understanding that peace requires trade. Because with enemy nations you don't trade. With friendly nations you open up, you engage together, you look what they have, what we can do together, where's the opportunity. And it's openness that is the basis for prosperity. And so this is really a historic day. And I'm so happy about it. And I hope that it will be now ratified very fast, that we'd be without the EU member states. Because as you have seen from the CETA, from the Canadian agreement, which half of the member states have not ratified now years after, they are completely useless on trade. They are completely incompetent, yeah, and they don't care anyhow for it. So it's much better to just improvise on the European level where the competences of our founding fathers are for the trade agreements. And so just to ratify it as soon as possible and not include the national parliaments where all this kind of freelance protectionists are sitting and they are just wrecking the global system. Because that's exactly what's happening. Some kind of milk farmers will then derail this major contribution to global growth, and that would be a real disaster. Now, I hope there will be the wisdom and also leadership prevailing. Now it's in the parliament already, and I'm sure that in the European Parliament at the end of the day there will be a majority for reason. There will be also a majority for the Chinese agreement and a majority for the African agreement, and ultimately also the American agreement. That would be the crown jewel. Because again, I would explain that this whole is not a 20-year story, but it's a story for 100 of years. And especially after World War II, we tried, because of the failure of the trading system after World War I, never forget, because World War II very much an effect of the failure to establish a decent trading system after World War I in the Paris Treaty, which was also on the 28th of June signed in 2019. And we didn't have a really big effort on the economy. It was all about just war reparations, but not about how the economy can work in the future. And there was no international trade system developed. Then it failed. And we had the tragic consequences then later in the escalation of the World War II. And before the First World War, it was also full of trading blocs, imperial preferences, everybody building his own specific kind of imperial colonial system. And it was complete failure. And it crashed down into the World War I. So I'm talking about the most important aspects of global peace. This is a fair, open, transparent trading system, and the EU FTA with Mercosur is a central part in that one. It's one pillar. If you believe in peace, if you believe in multilateralism, if you believe in fairness, in openness, inequality, you have to support the free trade agreement with Mercosur and the EU. If you are enemy of peace, yeah, if you are an enemy of freedom, if you are enemy of fairness, if you're an enemy of the better world, of a greener world, if you're enemy of having the power to also talk to the South Americans to treat their nature better and their people better, then you should first of all not listen to my podcast, but also then it's really, if you're an enemy of all these things, then you should vote against Mercosur. And I really blame all this kind of fake news NGOs from Greenpeace downwards and everybody who, and the farmers lobbies who are so opposed to Mercosur, they are really in the category of enemieship of freedom and of progress. And that's very sad people. And they probably don't know, they feel justified because they represent the interest. But, you know, with a stronger consumers, a stronger economy, we can also buy much more of Austrian products from the farms. Yeah, because it's our free decisions which kind of farming products we buy. And this kind of protectionism will lead to complete decline. And I abhor it. So I call, and I'm actually confident that there will be reason prevailing and we will ratify this agreement. But let me go step by step through the various points, because there's many misunderstandings. Yeah? First of all, we have to see that if you want to protect the Amazonas, and this is the way to do it, have a conclusion of the Mercosur agreement. Because inside such agreement, there's a mutual regulatory basis agreed for all open issues which are of relevance. Yeah? Because otherwise, what kind of issue, what kind of possibilities you have to protect the Amazonas? Should we send the European army? Will the Austrian Navy go there? Or what the left and the populists are proposing is not to engage. Yeah? You know, when you don't engage, probably in Brazil they will do whatever they want with the forests. And they will say, as we anyhow don't care for them because we don't buy the products. Yeah? Then they will basically do the wild woodlogging that they probably do now. Only when we engage, when we have this kind of mutual basis of contractual obligations, which this FTA is, then we can make sure that also the standards for the farming gets better, and for the wood processing, and for the Amazonas. This is the way. The French are so wrong, it's unbelievable. Huh? President Macron, he doesn't know what he's doing. It's so such a dramatic, and he's misleading the European youth in a completely anti-Mercosur direction, which is so reckless, irresponsible, I could cry. Here comes the point. If you want to save the Amazon, you have to be in favor of Mercosur and the agreement. Because here there is basically the regulatory basis to be also sure that the forests in Latin America are treated better. And we cannot go by the Navy. Huh? We have no Navy, by the way. Anyhow, if you are, for example, of the opinion that the people in Argentina and Brazil should stay poor, then you also should be against the Mercosur. If you are of my opinion that they also should live fair and nice and good and decently, then we have to exchange goods. We have to trade with each other. We have to find a common regulatory basis to make sure that our consumers can buy their products and they can buy our products. And that's the way for progress and prosperity since hundreds of years. And that's the way the economy works. But we need this regulatory basis and the mutual market access, lower tariffs, and that's the way for prosperity. But it's also the prosperity to lift the people up out of poverty. The poverty levels in Latin America have been reducing in the last years, but now with Corona, certainly they are rising again, and we need to be active. And that means Mercosur. It's the way to fight poverty. When it comes to the populism we have. Yeah? We have a lot of agricultural populism in Europe. Like we would be only the agricultural country. Like we would not, our prosperity depends on our industry. It depends on our digital innovation powers. Very few people actually live and work fully in the agriculture. And we can, as rich countries, anyhow subsidize our farmers, which we do. The Latin American countries, the poorer countries, don't have these possibilities. So at least not to block these people to sell their goods, it's the only decent thing we can do. We really have to do it, and that's really absolutely important. And then you see all these kind of populists, like the German agriculture minister, Mrs. Glockner, or the Austrian Köstinger. These are really terrible populists. Yeah? They are misleading their own people, and they are responsible for the poverty in Latin America, because they don't allow this agreement. And then they want to build a political career on the backs of poor people in Brazil. It's so shameful. For them, the trees, they seem to be mattering more than the people. This is really very inhuman policy. And I really reject it completely. And you know, with kind of anti-Brazilian populism to make your political career, then it's really better to have no political career. It's really very sad. When it comes to the indigenous people, that's also part of that agreement. And that's also the same logic like with the Amazonas. Once we have this agreement, we have this partnership with Mercosur, then obviously we have a regulatory basis to ask them, to question them, to help them. And also the boat will lift all the people and they will have a better life. That's absolutely for sure. And we can really also raise issues if there are. The protection of the indigenous people is much better with the Mercosur agreement. And that's really why we should be proud that we have this agreement and we can help. And that's very good. So we have to also see the food safety and animal safety. That's so important. You have seen that in the corona, that the sanitary standards, it's called, yeah, food safety and animal welfare. That's also part of that agreement. So it's much better to have common standards because we lift the standards up in Latin America. We don't degrade them downwards. No, we do the good things. Yeah. So it's also important for Argentina. Argentina has been already through so many terrible crises. And what in Argentina is always a very strong left-wing populist country. And then they don't have a stable regulatory framework. And then it leads to often to very significant debt and currency collapse. And Argentina urgently needs Mercosur as a stable regulatory framework, market access. We don't want Argentina to break down again and then shake the global system again, as they have done so often. That would be really very wrong and very, very expensive for us. We have to also see we are not just in the agriculture. We are in a global financial system, in a global trade system, in a global industrial system, in a global currency system. A breakdown of Argentina has to be avoided, and Mercosur is the tool. When it comes to reform in South America, that's also important. You know, it's a lot of people as well. Just see it in the numbers. 260 million in the Mercosur agreement. We are 510 all in all, and the EU customs union even bigger. So we, of course, you know, Mercosur has also one great growth potential because at the moment the GDP is just about 25% of the European one. It's just 2.5 trillion. And as you have seen the progress of China in the last years, it's really possible to add trillions and trillions. When China entered the WTO 20 years ago, it has really multiplied from 1 to 14 trillion. So this agreement is really a big chance for the global recovery, and that's very important. Now, let me also say that it's important that the OECD membership of Brazil and Argentina and Paraguay and Uruguay is also part of the package, because we should also include them. They are democracies. They are our partners. We shouldn't exclude them. We should include them in the Union of Market Democracies. We have already several members from South America in OECD, in the Union of Market Democracies. And now it's important to have also Brazil. And not, of course, Brazil then should leave BRICS, there's no doubt. And also Argentina is unfortunately relatively close to Russia. So this agreement has also a huge geostrategic significance, because with us opening the markets, with concluding these agreements, it's hopefully contains the Russian influence in Argentina and in Brazil, and breaks these countries away, especially Brazil, from BRICS, which is our opposition. It's the anti-European project, BRICS. It's the anti-Western alliance, and that's very important. So it's also an important factor. And bringing these four countries into OECD will additionally help with constant regulatory improvement, with regulatory enforcement, with improvement of all the levels of good governance. And that's a wonderful thing. So when you see the 28th of June, a historic day, it's a coincidence. It's the European Peace Day and the day for Mercosur. But it's a very historic agreement, because we have concluded the WTO in 95, and then it was basically took so long because after the World War II, we couldn't agree on a real trading system. We had to do with the General Agreement on Trade and Tariffs. Yeah? And then we, after the Cold War was won, there was the opportunity to do the World Trade Organization, and then was the opportunity to mutually reinforce and go even more united in various free trade agreements. And since that moment in 99, it was later than in 99, when the new commission came, there was the effort to start this negotiation, because the global trading and financial system was really very much imbalanced. Because it's the truth, some countries do more agriculture, some have more natural resources, some have more industry. So openness is then balancing this kind of system. And that's very important. So then since 99, we are negotiating, and no less than 20 years it took for the wisdom to win. And can you imagine then Juncker, who has really been shaken by the Brexit, he has really seen the light in that after the Brexit paralyzes in 2016. And then he concluded the agreement with Japan. That was the most important up to now, which the Europeans have done, and it has been so successful. So the Japanese agreement, which recently has entered on the 1st of February, I made already the podcast what a success that is, but it's amazing, and it has been so beneficial, because all reasonable people see that the Trumpian anti-trade, which Macron and Kurz are now copying, this kind of populist protectionism is wrong. And then I cannot believe that we somehow talk, yesterday was the day against, in favor of multilateralism, and the next day we are opposing Mercosur agreement. And it's not reckless kind of free trade extremists like you will maybe accuse me of, who have negotiated this agreement. But it's the European Commission and our common countries, it's Austria and France, via the COREPER, via the EU councils, giving a trade mandate, negotiating together with the trade ministries, obviously involved all the time. And they discuss about which quotas are possible, which kind of way it's done. It's not that this is a kind of a free trade agreement where everything is possible, no matter what environmental consequences or what kind of economic consequences. No, it's all measured, it's all regulated, it's all agreed mutually. It's not imposed by anybody. It's a 20 years process to see where it's an acceptable compromise in regulatory alignment and in market opening and in quotas and in reduction of tariffs. If you believe in something like human spirit or human value or fairness, or kind of environmental protection, European style, and then please support this European agreement. If you are against it, you are a reckless, irresponsible terrorist for me. Yes, you are a terrorist on the global free trade system, on the global system on which is our... I mean, maybe you are not a terrorist, that's maybe too much, but for me, you strike terror in the hearts of the poor people of Brazil, because they cannot sell what they have. And we are rich, and we anyhow subsidize our farmers. And we will continue to do so We just concluded the agreement with the European financing for another hundreds of billions. We will subsidize the European farmers for the next 7 years period. And it's fine, you know, everybody has to have an income, and this is important, and I agree, but not on the costs of the South American market access. It's so unfair. And all this kind of racist xenophobia, which is behind this kind of Amazon, Save the Amazon. People are so misled by these NGOs, I cannot understand that. And so my hope is wisdom will win, and I'm confident it will win, because we are not as bad as some people think. We are no longer this kind of colonial, imperial Europeanists who think that we can just trick the world into opening their markets and not to do our market opening, which we have done for so long. That was basically colonialism. And the green populists and the right populists, they are basically in the tradition of this European trickery, going there, selling them glass pearls and getting all the good stuff from them for cheap, and not allowing any of their products on the European market. That was basically the formula of and also suppressing these people on the state of the European taxpayers. And basically getting rich a few who had the opportunity to exploit these poor people. And that's the formula of colonialism in a short nutshell. Now things are different. Everybody has equal opportunities based on such contractual changes and fundamentals, like the free trade agreement, like our WTO membership, like in the OECD, and like these bilateral treaties. And then everybody can work, compete, innovate, and produce something. And there's reasonable market chances for everybody once the regulatory approval is coming. You can transport your goods. And if there's a market, then the market goes from Ukraine and Turkey, because they're included in our trading system, until then south of Argentina. And that's very good. I mean, that's the idea of a free, fair, open system. And opposing it is really pretty evil. If you are considering to oppose Mercosur, really reconsider, because it is the wrong thing to do. And if you want a fair and open system, if you're not part of the Trumpian kind of evils, then really support the Mercosur agreement. It's a well-balanced and serious agreement. It makes a lot of sense. You can also see all these things. And there's always this idea of there's a secret agreement coming up. Yeah. Of course, you know, it has to be negotiated in confidentiality. And now it will be all on the public. Nobody will read it anyhow, because it's huge, multi thousands of documents. Yeah. But it is basically what we do in the European Union. Yeah. To work on a lot of regulatory standards, complicated, mutually agreed over decades, and to work together with other countries. We have now over 70 of this agreement, and now we will also have this Mercosur agreement, and then we will also have finally this US and EU agreement, hopefully very soon. And so we will be coming out of Corona with a much stronger economy, a much fairer and much more open economy. And that's so good. So I call on everybody, please celebrate the 28th of June, the European Peace Day, as a special day also for European trade, for the EU Mercosur. And let's make sure that by the end of Corona, in the summer of 2021, we also have this to celebrate. And the 2020s will be a much better economic system, and a much fairer and a much more open Europe, and a much more successful Europe. And that's what I hope for. So please ratify the EU Mercosur agreement, and let's make this progress for peace and prosperity together with our friends and partners from Brazil and from Argentina. And I hope that you will celebrate every 28th of June peace and trade. Trade is peace, peace is trade, and that's a fair and open world which we all want. Thanks a lot for listening.